his efforts this morning with leading our singing. Appreciate all your participation in worship. It's great to be back here with you again to worship with you here at Manslick Road. I'd be amiss without saying that I'm extremely humbled to be back here with you all once again. I look forward to it every time that I have an idea. I've been talking to Brother Randy Runner off and on, talking about how we both were excited for this day to finally be here. And I'm confident that this morning you'll be edified and built up, and you'll truly understand the love that God has for you this morning. When I was a sophomore in high school, I went to a Christian school, and they asked me to preach in a chapel. There's a bunch of Baptist people in there, and I was a Christian. And I struggled with what I was going to talk about. And the thing that I decided on was a story that's not often preached on, and that is the story of Barabbas. Well, 4 years have passed, and I feel like I've grown a lot. And I don't feel like then I did that good of a job of presenting it, and this morning I'm going to try to present the same story. But see, we're just not going to talk about Barabbas, the criminal Barabbas. We're going to talk about Jesus, the Son of God, and we're going to talk about each and every one of us in this room this morning. I love to start out with definitions. Barabbas, his name means son of shame or confusion. See, Barabbas is not someone that we talk about very often in Scripture, but what is interesting is Barabbas paints a picture of each and every one of us. See, Barabbas had a rap sheet. We're told in the story that Barabbas was a notorious criminal. People knew who Barabbas was because of the crimes that he committed. In John chapter 18 at verse 40, we're told that Barabbas was a robber. In those customs, in that culture, if you robbed, you got your hands cut off sometimes. So Barabbas was due punishment for being a robber. But Barabbas did more than that. He was a murderer and an insurrection. We're told that in Mark 15 at verse 7 and Luke chapter 23 at verse 18. So we look at this rap sheet. My dad was a police officer for 25 years. I know all about criminals. I know all about people that break the law. And all of us would say murderers or due a penalty. But as we're going to see tonight, this morning and tonight, the fact of the matter is it's just not a murder that's worthy of spiritual death. It's just not robbery that's worthy of spiritual death. Anything that contrasts what God says to do is worthy of spiritual death. See, this morning we sat here and we say, well, Barabbas was a bad guy, Chris. He was terrible. He was a sinner. But I'm a sinner up here standing. I don't need to edify self. I'm not good. I need to realize that just like Barabbas, I can't save myself. I want to give you three lessons this morning. Three simple lessons that will make you a better Christian or provoke you potentially if you're not a Christian to become one. Number one, like the Jews, you have a choice to make. See, the Jews were presented with a task from Pilate in Mark chapter 15 verses 6 through 11 to make a choice. It was customary at that time that the Roman people would release one prisoner to the Jews. Well, as we see in Mark chapter 15, verses 6 through 11, the two choices were either Jesus, the Son of God that was perfect, or Barabbas, the murderer and the robber. Look at verse 6 with me. Now it was the custom at the festival to release a prisoner, whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionist who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews? Asked Pilate, knowing it was out of self-interest that the chief priests had handed down Jesus over to him. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. What I find interesting here is that Jesus was put here out of selfish interest. If you think about it, our sins put Jesus Christ on the cross. We do sin out of selfish interest. We don't need to be like the Jews. You're going to see this morning that you have a choice to make. You can choose to follow sin or you can choose to follow God. The Jews chose Barabbas over Jesus. Don't do the same this morning. Look at Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. See, these people thought they were justified in what they were doing. Let's get rid of Jesus. He is disturbing the norm. He is teaching something that we don't like to hear. They chose Barabbas because they were scared of Jesus and because they were jealous of Jesus. But this morning I'm going to tell you what those Jews soon figured out on the day of Pentecost, that what Jesus has to offer is absolutely worth it. We're going to see what Jesus had to go through for each and every one of us just to give us the opportunity to go to heaven. We talk about how hard it is to live as a Christian. You're going to see that Jesus Christ gave it all for you. And all He asks in return is that we give it all to Him. You see, the Jews had a choice. They had Jesus. We know Jesus was the perfect Son of God. We know that Jesus was serving His purpose that God the Father put Him on earth to serve. And we also know that He was the innocent servant of God. See, Jesus was not convicted of any wrongdoing. He did not do anything wrong. But the Jews didn't want Him. Well, then they also had Barabbas. No doubt Barabbas and Jesus were both notorious for total opposite things. Barabbas was a criminal. We talked about what Barabbas did. Barabbas was causing problems. Why would he be thrown into jail by the Romans if he was not causing problems? He was guilty of murder and robbery. Look at the contrast here. Perfect sinner, serving purpose, causing problems, innocent, guilty. See, this morning, you have a choice. That's what life's all about. Usually there's two roads to go down. You choose which lane you go in. Scripture even depicts it that way. You have a choice this morning. You can either choose God. Brother Richard talked about that this morning in our Bible class. Or you can choose sin. You can choose Satan. See, we never want to say that we're choosing the devil. We never want to say that we're on the road to hell, but this morning we need to be honest with ourselves. If we're not following God, we're on that road. See, that's what's beautiful about Scripture. You, like the Jews, have a choice. You can learn from their mistakes. You can learn from the mistakes we read about in Scripture. And you can put on the examples of people that we read about as well. See, three lessons from our text this morning. Like the Jews, you have a choice to make. And number two, we are Barabbas. You read over the story and you say, well, Barabbas was a really bad guy, Chris. And he was. But look at what Luke chapter 23 verses 18 through 19 says. But the whole crowd shouted, away with this man, release Barabbas to us. Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. You might say, well, Chris, I don't lead riots. And I hope that you don't. I don't murder people. I hope that you don't. But the thing is sin. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 17 says, whoever takes a life is surely be put to death. So Barabbas was deserving of physical death and spiritual death for the sin that he committed. The thing is without Jesus this morning, you are convicted of the same charges Barabbas is, spiritually speaking. You need to leave here right with God. It's the most important decision you'll ever make. You see, Barabbas, he commits murder. What's it equal? It equals death. Physical and spiritual death Barabbas was deserving, or both. But see, we're quick to convict Barabbas of being a sinner, aren't we? Because he was. And we have no problem convicting others of sin, but let's reflect on ourselves individually. I don't want you to think about anybody else in your head this morning as a sinner besides self. Before you can put down everyone else, we need to work on self. We need to be better. We need to individually be better. We need to collectively be better. And reflecting on the story of Barabbas will get us to that point. What about us? You see, we commit sin. It's separation from God. What's it equal? It equals eternal punishment. See, the thing is, conviction, there's a process. There's a process of pardon. You see, sometimes where governors or the federal government will pardon someone. God pardons us from our sins if we obey the gospel. See, like Barabbas, who was released, you can be released from the bondage of sin. See, it talks about everyone. Romans 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That is each and every person that will or has walked this earth, each and every one of us in this room. You might sin once a day. You might sin many times a day. But at some point, you will fall short of the glory of God. And that's why the sacrifice of Christ is so important. See, we are Barabbas. And Barabbas is us because we, like Barabbas, stand condemned of our sins. The depiction shows Jesus and Barabbas in front of the crowd. Convicted of wrongdoing was Barabbas. We will stand before God if we are not in the right relationship with Him, convicted of our sins. Condemned to an eternal hell. Don't be in that state. See, we, like Barabbas, cannot save ourselves. Barabbas, it was out of his control. There was nothing he could do to get himself out of the situation he was in. And you and I, in and of ourselves, cannot save us. The sacrifice that saved Barabbas saves us, and that is Jesus Christ. We are Barabbas, and Barabbas is us because we, like Barabbas, we don't deserve freedom. Looking at how bad we are, but how great God is, we don't deserve freedom. Barabbas did not deserve freedom either. That was grace extended to Barabbas. We don't know how Barabbas took that grace. See, we are Barabbas, and Barabbas is us because we, like Barabbas, deserve ultimate punishment. There's no doubting that Barabbas was deserving of death that day he stood next to Jesus and Pilate. And there's no doubt, in and of ourselves, we are deserving of eternal death as well. But the beautiful thing is that sacrifice is extended to all. What about our third and final point? So we've known, like the Jews, we have a choice to make this morning. We are Barabbas. And number three, Jesus paid the ultimate price for everyone. We talk about the crucifixion and how brutal and torturous it was, but I want to reflect on everything that led up to that crucifixion. What about betrayal by a friend? Loyalty is something that is big in all of our lives. We love people that are loyal to us, that stand by us when no one else will. And we know how hard it is and how much it hurts when people let us down. But Jesus had a friend that walked with Him for 3 years betray Him. We read that in Luke chapter 22 at verse 47. While He was speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss Him, but Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" That hurts when people stab you in the back, doesn't it? It hurts when people hurt you. Jesus was betrayed by a friend, by a close friend, someone that He walked with for 3 years. What about mocking? See, we hate being taunted. We hate when people mock us and make fun of us. But imagine the severe mocking that Jesus had from the people. See, the soldiers in Mark chapter 15 at verse 16 through 20, the soldiers led Jesus away into the palace and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on Him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on Him. And they began to call out to Him, "Hail, King of the Jews." Again and again they struck Him on the head with a staff and spit on Him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to Him. And when they had mocked Him, they took off the purple robe and put His own clothes on Him. Then they led Him out to be crucified. It really puts you in your place this morning when you realize just what Jesus went through for us. You might sit here this morning and say, "Well, I can't live the Christian lifestyle, Chris. I'm not worthy of becoming a Christian." Well, Jesus went through all of this to give you that opportunity. We're not even halfway done talking about what Jesus suffered. What about scourging? Scourging in and of itself would sometimes kill a man before he could make it to the cross. And Jesus endured scourging for you and for I. See, the Roman scourge, also called a flagrum, was a short leather whip made of two or more or maybe even three leather oxhide thongs or ropes connected for a handle. The leather thongs were knotted with a small piece of metal, usually zinc and iron, attached with various intervals. Scourging would quickly remove the skin. So we're not talking about just getting whipped with a belt. They had pieces of metal, maybe bones, on the scourge, ripping into the skin of Jesus. We read that in John chapter 19 at verse 1, then Pilate had Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip. Brutal suffering, isn't it? But it was for a purpose. It was to provide us salvation. See, he was forced to carry his own cross. Can you imagine going through flogging, whipping, whatever you want to call it, being mocked, being betrayed? Imagine how emotionally and physically drained Jesus was. And then he was forced to carry his own cross through the streets of Jerusalem. John chapter 19 and verse 17, carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull. You see, this is not a private thing. This was public. This was in front of everyone. Everyone saw what Jesus went through. I remember being younger before I obeyed the gospel, and I thought, it is embarrassing to walk up in front of all of these people and to confess that I believe in Jesus and be baptized. Well, until you read the story of Jesus carrying his own cross, it makes it look so easy for us to take the step out of the pew and walk down the aisle and become a Christian, or to get our lives right with God, because that's not the humiliating part. The humiliating part is carrying your cross through the street of Jerusalem while being mocked, while being beat. The people that wanted Jesus died, no doubt they were satisfied with this. What about the crucifixion? He wasn't crucified with good people. He was crucified between two thieves, two criminals. John chapter 19 and verse 18, there they crucified him with two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. So he is with criminals again. We see where one believes on him and the other kind of mocks. Then that crucifixion ultimately resulted in his death. John chapter 19 and verse 30, when he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. See, this is a grueling story. This is a story that should make us uncomfortable because we put him there. Jesus died for my sins. He died for your sins. He was not convicted of any wrongdoing, but chose to be a humble servant, to take on the will of the Father and do what the Father wanted without really anything we could give him in return. But see, the story does not end with his death. The story began when Pilate released Barabbas. See, the good news, as we read in Luke chapter 23, verse 24 and 25, so Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, and the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. See, Barabbas was set free that day. Barabbas was walking around Jerusalem again that day, and we don't know what Barabbas did with that gift. But this morning, that same gift is extended to you. Jesus went through physical death, so you don't have to go through spiritual death. The question is, how will you make use of that gift? You can be set free in Jesus Christ this morning. We say, "Chris, how can I be set free? If he's dead, how can I be set free?" Well, the thing is, Jesus Christ arose. We sang that this morning before the Lord's Supper. Matthew chapter 28, verses 2 through 6. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified." Look at verse 6. "He is not here. He has risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay." See, the promises that Jesus made to people, the things that Jesus said were going to happen, they happened. And if Jesus tells us that if you believe in me and you're baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, you will have eternal life, then Jesus keeps that promise, as long as you keep your end of the bargain. You see, this morning we are Barabbas. This morning, without Jesus Christ, we are absolutely nothing. And this morning, if you're not right with God, you need to get right with Him before it's eternally too late. See, this morning we've discussed all that Jesus Christ has done for each and every one of us. You might sit in your pew this morning thinking that no one wants you, but I can tell you right now, God does. We talked about the descriptive nature of all that Jesus went through for us. You might find it embarrassing to become a Christian, as we said earlier. It's embarrassing to carry your own cross. We talked about Jesus dying for us, about giving Himself selflessly on the cross for our sins. How about this morning we selflessly give ourselves to what God has called us to do? Maybe you're not a Christian this morning. Why wait on becoming one? This morning you can be delivered from your sins. This morning you can walk out of here feeling like $1 million. This morning you can have the relief that only God can provide. But like those Jews on that day, you got a choice to make. See, God's plan of salvation is so simple. It's not you come up here and say a sinner's prayer. It's not you come up here, we sprinkle you with water. It's strictly what Scripture says to do. See, God's plan of salvation says we have to hear the good news. We talked about the good news. That's that Jesus Christ came to this earth, gave Himself selflessly on the cross, and rose again, giving us the hope of heaven. Romans 10 and verse 17. See, you have to believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans 10, 9 and 10. You have to repent of your sins. It's a complete 180. Don't go back to doing what you were doing before. Acts 2 and verse 38. You have to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Matthew 10 verses 32 and 33. And you have to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Mark 16 at verse 16. Then and only then, you'll have your sins washed away. You'll be as white as snow. You'll make the right choice and you'll be on the road that leads to heaven. But that's not it. It's just not a one-time commitment. It's an eternal commitment. It's a lifetime commitment that you're making. We read in Revelation 2 at verse 10 that we're told to live faithful until death or until Jesus returns. This morning, don't be like Barabbas. Don't go back to doing what you were doing before. Fully submit your life, fully submit your will to what God has called each and every one of us to do. Maybe you're a Christian already. Maybe you're falling short. Maybe you're struggling with something. Maybe you need the prayers of this congregation here. We'll be glad to pray for you. We ask that if anyone is needing to come forward, that you come forward now as together as we stand and sing.